International SOS is advising clients in Haiti to stand fast, but prepare to evacuate following recent political and security developments in the country. Prime Minister Ariel Henry has agreed to resign following weeks of mounting pressure and increasing violence. Armed gangs have targeted state assets and critical infrastructure in the capital, Port-au-Prince, attacking many key locations, including the international airport, areas near the US embassy and police stations across the city. Prior to the escalation, armed gangs were believed to control up to 80% of Port-au-Prince. Hello and welcome to this Global Situation podcast from International SOS, the leading health and security risk management business. I'm Chris Giles. Well, joining me for this episode is our Security Director for Assistance, Paul Doucette, and our Lead Security Analyst for North America and the Caribbean, John McMurray. But I began by asking Paul, what kind of challenges people in Haiti are facing right now?
So the clients that we're working with on the ground in Haiti, especially in the capital, Port-au-Prince, are dealing with very severe challenges. Most of the city has become off limits due to gang activity and violence, roadblocks and the curfew. This has really heavily limited the ability of clients to move around freely within the city. Now, even during the best of times and before this escalation began, there was a very difficult operating environment where gangs controlled many areas of the city and were posing a threat that required real-time risk assessments and journey management plans before any journey was to take place. So even a simple movement from the upmarket Pétionville area in the city's southeast to the airport, which is in the northern area of the city, that would be something that would need to be assessed in real time, whether it could go ahead or not. Often armed vehicles were used and armed guards in those vehicles. So that was something challenging already. But with the latest escalation, an even greater level of planning is required. We need to see exactly where the activity is taking place on the day, on the morning, and often have backup vehicles and additional measures in place to make sure that those movements go easily. People are dealing with a situation where they hear gunfire at nighttime. There is the possibility of every location in the city being affected. No area can be considered completely immune. The gangs have quite a high degree of freedom of movement to be able to affect different areas of the city. And all the roads leading out of the city are blocked, unable to be passed because of the threat level and because of roadblocks. The airport being closed means people cannot leave the city by that means. And the gangs having overrun the seaport means that even though we work with very good maritime providers, who are able to get vessels up to the port to have passengers board, accessing the port by road movement is still impossible. So we have a situation where all the land, air, and sea options that people would normally be able to take advantage of in a normal city have all been blocked off. We're left working with rotary wing providers who may be able to enter and exit from the Dominican Republic and pick people up and shuttle them in. But that is subject to a lot of considerations and constraints in and of itself. The people who are in the safest area of the city in Pétionville, they face the least degree of challenge right now because that area of the city has remained relatively stable and free of violence. There has certainly been some incidents there, but not to the extent of elsewhere in the city. So people who have remained there have been able to stand fast. Supplies are inevitably going to run short at some point. But for the time being, most of the clients that we've been working with have been able to stockpile and have retained good access to essential provisions throughout this time.
Okay, thanks for now, Paul. Now, I wanted to bring in our lead security analyst for North America and the Caribbean, John McMurray. And John, can you explain some of the background and tell us, how did we get here?
So this crisis has unfortunately been building, honestly, for years, even since the assassination of previous President Jovenel Moïse in 2021. But the two main events that really set off the stage for what we're seeing in Haiti today was on 7 February, and that was the end of Prime Minister Henri's mandate. And he continued his presidency through that period. We saw some pretty significant nationwide demonstrations in the week before and days following that event. The other key event that really set the stage was Ariel Henry's departure of Haiti for a CARICOM meeting and ultimately to Kenya to sign a bilateral security agreement with the country. And that was a political necessity for this Kenyan-led security intervention to occur. Following Henri's departure for Kenya, a prominent gang member, Jimmy Barbecue Cherizier, announced an alliance with another major gang in Haiti and also called on the prime minister to resign. And following this, that's when we really saw this outbreak of violence. And this really went far and beyond the level of political violence that we commonly see in Port-au-Prince, which is already very, very high. But for the first time, we saw gang members attacking critical infrastructure, everything from the airport in Port-au-Prince to major government buildings, banks, the seaports in the area. And we saw them set up roadblocks throughout the urban area of Port-au-Prince, but also along major highways that connected the city with the rest of the country. And these actions really brought transportation in Port-au-Prince to a standstill. Airlines canceled flights, and while the airport technically remains open, there are no commercial flights traveling to and from the country. Also, road travel into the city is basically impossible because of these roadblocks.
So, John, Haiti's Prime Minister Ariel Henry has announced plans to step down. So, what happens now?
On Monday, officials with the Caribbean community, also known as CARICOM, announced a deal that would see a presidential council come into place. And this presidential council would be 9 members in total, 7 voting members and 2 observers. And they would take on presidential powers. And once that council is created, current Prime Minister Ariel Henry will resign. So he'll hand over the reins. And this political council will go about appointing a prime minister.
And has Ariel Henry's decision to resign changed the situation at all?
It certainly has the potential for some major changes. Even from the political standpoint, we're still waiting to see the nominees for the presidential council. And depending on who they nominate, that has the potential to result in even political unrest in the country. There is a concern among some of the Haitian populace that this political council is really kind of brought in from outside and was agreed upon by regional powers and officials with the U.S., Canada, and France, but that it might not have had sufficient input from the Haitian population. There's also a concern that the people who are going to be on this commission are going to be members of the political old guard who are not trusted by the general population in Haiti. Also, from a gang perspective, we've already seen gang leaders, including Barbecue, come out against this plan. So there's a potential that we might see an increase in gang violence, once again, targeting critical infrastructure, police stations, really critical locations like that, in response to the political plan.
Okay, thanks very much, John. Now back to our Security Director for Assistance, Paul Doucette. And Paul, given the current challenges, what kind of support can International SOS offer to our clients in Haiti?
So at the moment, we are providing support in a lot of different ways. First of all, consultation. We're working directly with the clients who are on the ground as well as their managers, so the authorized persons at their headquarters, and discussing the options that we have for them and the ways that we can support. One of the ways that we can support is by stockpiling supplies on our clients' behalf and being ready to deliver those supplies. So we've done that. We purchased a great deal of essential provisions, and we're ready to deliver those to clients in areas that are accessible within the city, where most clients are located in accessible areas. So those are on standby waiting for delivery. And that's one tangible form of support. The other tangible form of support is that we're working with our ground transportation security companies who are able to deploy vehicles and a very high degree of security on ground missions within certain areas of the city. Now, with the curfew and with the hostile threat level around the city being so prevalent and fluid, like I mentioned earlier, all of those movements require real-time planning. That said, the availability of fleet of vehicles, of armed guards and things like that remains quite good. Thirdly, accommodation. So we're working very closely with our clients on where they're staying and relocating them between locations where they may feel have become unsafe into other accommodation options elsewhere in the city where they're able to have a safer security posture. And lastly, we're working with various organizations on the helicopter options to get people shuttled out of Port-au-Prince to most likely the Dominican Republic as a first stop, after which they move on from that safe haven in the Dominican Republic to their final destinations from there, and putting plans of action together that involve multiple forms of transportation, but with the rotary wing option at this stage, as of the 13th of March, being highly likely to be the first leg of that journey.
Given what you've described, what recommendations have we got for people who are in Haiti right now and need help?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the first recommendation that we want to make is to contact us to talk it through. So every situation is unique and different, and everyone who's in every different part of the country will have a different recommendation based on their exact situations and the location that they're in and what threats they face. But other than that individualized consultation, The main thing that we're advising clients to do is that you need to leave the country as soon as you can, as soon as you can do so safely. And so making the right preparations now to be able to depart as soon as a safe option emerges and a plan of action, thoroughly vetted, risk assessed plan of action is completed and available to you to make sure that you take advantage of that and that you move out of the country efficiently. For those who need, other than making those preparations to be able to leave, stockpiling goods and standing fast and ensuring your accommodation remains safe, not only based on the actual security in place at your accommodation, but also based on changes in the assessment and the patterns in threat levels and targeting around the city, that you'll be able to have a clear view day to day as to whether your current accommodation is still the best accommodation you can be in from a security standpoint. So recommending people look at that actively and don't assume that where they're staying is always going to remain safe just because it has been up until this point. To keep relooking at that, making preparations for departure and ensuring that there's a stockpile of essential provisions. Lastly, I would say that clients should communicate actively, you know, not only with us for consultation on this, but also with their families and with their managers and their organizations, so that there's good visibility. You know, very simple things like having redundant devices and maintaining everything charged in case there were to be a power outage and things like that, and having access to backup power to make sure devices can remain charged so the communication stays smooth is something that sometimes is underestimated, but it's critically important, especially in a hostile environment as Port-au-Prince has become.
Okay, Paul and John, thank you very much for all your analysis and advice.
Well, that's all for now, but just a reminder that you'll be able to access all the latest information and updates on Haiti from our website at internationalsos.com. And from there, you can find out about our global network of assistance centres. They're available to clients 24/7. But until next time, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.